Our Prime Minister Rishi Sunak had condemned what he says was Iran's, quote, reckless attack on Israel, confirming the UK was involved in an international coalition protecting Israel overnight. I'm pleased to say that Avi Hyman, who is a spokesman for the Israeli government, joins me now. Mr. Hyman, thank you for making time this afternoon. The latest reporting that we're getting is that Iran has suggested that it wants to now draw a line under the matter in terms of tit-for-tat attacks. What will Israel do next?
Hi, Zangeeta. Thank you so much for having me on. Well, Israel woke up and breathed a big sigh of relief this morning because it could have been a lot worse. I mean, we're talking about close to 300 drones, cruise missiles, ballistic missiles coming at our country. And thank goodness we were able to shoot down 99% of them, or we could have been woken up to a very, very different reality. So,
but what will Israel do next?
Right. So that is being that the consultations are currently happening within the government, within the war cabinet. We won't be broadcasting that on air, I'm afraid. But we retain our moral rights to defend ourselves. We will. We are prepared for any scenario, both defensive and offensive. And I'll remind you that Iran has been behind this war from day one. So them to say that they're going to draw a line under it now, they've been at our throats, if you will, for decades, calling for our destruction for decades, funding the axis of evil, the proxies, Hezbollah, Hamas, the Houthis, etc., that have been fighting this war from day one.
Understood. But what we are now hearing after this coalition, which involved the UK, the US, France, possibly Jordan, possibly other regional actors, is Rishi Sunak saying, right, we've done our part. We've defended Israel against this drone attack. But now, quote, calmer heads should prevail. Will calmer heads prevail as far as Benjamin Netanyahu is concerned?
Well, certainly from an Israeli perspective, all we've ever wanted is peace and quiet in this region. Sadly, Iran for decades has wanted the opposite, has wanted to engulf the region in war. So we're still fighting a war against Hamas, a Iranian proxy that's currently holding 133 of our people against their will, men, women and children, a crime against humanity. So I'm not sure what it means to draw a line under it. They're funding 93% of Hamas's activities.
It's kind of pretty obvious what Rishi Sunak and Joe Biden at this point are now saying to Israel, isn't it? What they're saying is, we helped you out last night. We ensured that those drones and those missiles didn't hit Israeli soil in a huge sense that would have resulted, and we can all agree that would have been catastrophic if civilians had been killed. And I think quite clearly what they are saying to Israel is, right, Calm down, Benjamin Netanyahu. Get the situation in Gaza resolved. We do not want a wider regional conflict that will draw in more military action from countries like the UK and the US. That is pretty obvious, that messaging, isn't it?
Right. Well, firstly, we thank all of our allies, Britain included, for standing shoulder to shoulder with us. I'm not going to comment on what will potentially happen or not happen in the future, because like I said, that's consultations are being had, and we will decide the right time and place.
But you know that another retaliation will not just destabilize the whole region. It could destabilize Western countries as well because of the potential blowback of a direct conflict between Israel and Iran.
Sangeeta, there's already been a direct conflict vis-a-vis the Houthis, and that is ongoing. Iran stands behind this. It is their interest to engulf the area. We never wanted that. We didn't choose this war. We didn't want this war. But we have to defend ourselves. I mean, can you imagine if they had nuclear weapons? That's the real question. Had they been shooting nuclear weapons at us?
With all due respect, that's not the real question. What the Iranians, of course, have said is that this is a retaliatory strike after Israel struck its consulate in Syria. Now, we all know that the way diplomacy works is consulates and embassies are considered sovereign territory of the government that is concerned. What Israel did by taking that action against Iran was escalate what is already an incredibly fragile situation.
Sangeeta, that's an outrageous framing of the reality.
It's not an outrageous framing. I've just been speaking to somebody who is a diplomat to Iran from the UK government. That's not an outrageous framing of it. What Israel did was strike the what is considered in diplomatic circles the sovereign territory of Iran, whether we like it or not.
No.
And there was undoubtedly going to be a blowback. So did Israel game out what was going to happen next?
Firstly, I'm not going to speak directly to that strike. What I can say definitively, and this is why it's outrageous, I can say definitively is that that wasn't an embassy, it wasn't a consulate, it wasn't any type of diplomatic mission.
It's been widely reported as that. Because that's what Iran says.
So would you like to copy and paste?
Are you suggesting every single news organization in the world has got that wrong?
No, I'm suggesting that the Iranians have an interest to say that that was a diplomatic mission when we know definitively it wasn't, okay? Because they then want to give you the response that you've just copied and pasted, with all due respect. So I can tell you that I can't speak directly to the strike, but I can say that definitively that was an Al-Quds military base being used by forces of the Iranian regime. And they were bent on Israel's destruction. They were working towards Israel's destruction. They were working actively with their proxies.
There will be a meeting of the G7 later on today. We know that the UN Security Council will also meet. Undoubtedly, as part of diplomatic utterances, we will undoubtedly see many countries coming out in support of Israel, but we will also probably see renewed calls for a ceasefire in Gaza. We know that Biden's language has been changing, particularly since those seven international aid workers were killed. Initially, he was saying the ceasefire is all down to Hamas, and we know, don't we, that he's now putting pressure on Israel and saying, actually, you have to also meet halfway. What are the chances of a ceasefire?
We said from day one that this war could end today if Hamas put their hands up, surrendered, and gave back the 133 stolen Israelis, men, women, and children. That could happen. But Hamas has rejected, just a few days ago, has rejected our latest offer as far as a deal. If you're talking about some kind of a ceasefire without the hostages, what, you want us to leave our people in Gaza that are being raped, that are being abused, that aren't being fed properly, that to be left under Hamas? And to allow Hamas to retake Gaza?
Mr. Hyman, if you've been listening to this program, nobody is suggesting any of those things. What I'm asking you is, will Israel renew its efforts to create a ceasefire, which at this point the entire international community wants? And the reason, and not only the international community, you two know what the ICJ ruling is, which is that there is a plausible case of genocide to answer. There is growing international pressure on Israel to reach some kind of a ceasefire, even if it is the thing that Biden has just outlined, which is a 6 to 8 week ceasefire, in which, in his words, he wants all food aid, all medical aid allowed into Gaza as a starting point for a permanent ceasefire. Why doesn't Netanyahu and his government come closer to meeting that?
We have put the most forward-thinking proposal on the table. Hamas has rejected it. What you said about international law, I'll reject that personally, in the words of John Kirby from the White House, who said that we have not transgressed any international law. We've not violated international
law. I didn't say you had. I said the ICJ says there is a plausible case to answer when it comes to genocide. I'm very careful with my words, Mr. Hyman, so please respect that. Will Israel come closer now under huge international pressure to get to a ceasefire position? Because the instability that we have seen, of course, began with Hamas and its terrorist attack on Israel. But what has happened since then has caused huge international outrage. That is undeniable. What is Israel going to do to come closer to a ceasefire?
Again, I would like to see pressure put on Hamas. We could end this war today if they surrendered and gave back the hostages. It's that simple. But they're not doing that because they want to stay in power.
Well, they say they will only do that in response to a permanent ceasefire.
Well, that would mean that they would be in power of the Gaza Strip. Our objective in this war from day one has been to destroy Hamas, to bring home the hostages, and to ensure that Gaza is not a threat to us. Gaza would be a threat to us, Hamas would be in power, and we wouldn't get the hostages back. So that wouldn't make any sense.
Avi Hyman, spokesperson for the Israeli government. Thank you very much indeed for making time this afternoon. Much appreciated.